إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue reading the explanation of the hadith number 23 from the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi من المنحة الربانية في شرح الأربعين النووية لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد العلامة الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. We started this hadith last week. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to read to you the hadith once again. عن أبي مالك الحارث بن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأني أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها رواه مسلم. On the authority of Abi Malik al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said الإيمان الطهور, purity and purification is half of faith. Alhamdulillah fills the scales. Subhanallah walhamdulillah fills that which is between heaven and earth. The prayer is light. Charity is a proof. Patience is illumination. And the Quran is an argument for or against you. Everyone starts his day and is a vendor of his soul, either freeing it or bringing about its ruin and destruction. In the previous class, alhamdulillah, we mentioned and we read to you that the Shaykh said this is a very important hadith, this is a great hadith that comprises many traits of good, many actions of righteousness. And we as Muslims, we do righteous actions. And we compete one another, and we encourage one another, and we assist and help to the best of our abilities one another to achieve good. And we read to you the explanation of At-Tahur wa Shatr al-Iman, purity and purification is half of faith. Walhamdulillah tamla'u al-mizan, that Alhamdulillah fills the scales. Tonight we continue by the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa subhanallahi walhamdulillah tamla'ani أو تملأ الميزان أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض. That Subhanallah walhamdulillah fills between that which between the heavens and the earth. قال كلمتان. But before that, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه وتعالى, in his book where he explains this hadith, notice in Arabic that الراوي, the narrator of this hadith, he says wa subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'ani. He used the muthanna. Oh, he said, or tamla'u, used the singular. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says al-ma'na la yakhtalif walakin lihirs al-ruwat ala tahri al-alfad yakunu bimithli hadha. يأتون بمثل هذا. He says the meaning doesn't change whether he says tamla'ani or tamla. But the narrator says he brought this. He says tamla'an or tamla, because the narrators, the companions, they were so diligent, precise. In that's why you find sometimes they say, says this or this. Now, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, says, now we have two statements, two words, kalimatan, subhanallah, walhamdulillah. As for subhanallah, ma'naha tanzihullahi jalla wa ala, amma la yaliqu bihi. And these two statements, and we're no strangers to these two statements. This is not like the first time we hear subhanallah. We say subhanallah many times. At least after every salat, we are recommended to say it 33 times, not just once. After every salat, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, the same thing. At least after every salat, we say it's recommended. It's not wajib. It's recommended for us to say alhamdulillah at least 33 times. And we say it in many other places. So what this statement that we know and we repeat it daily many times, what does it mean? Subhanallah, when we say subhanallah, is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from anything that doesn't befit His Majesty. When you say subhanallah, that you're glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you're saying and you're believing that Allah is far above any deficiencies, any shortcomings. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tanzihu ani shuraka wa tanzihu ani naqaisi wal uyub. Most important is that you believe when you say subhanallah that Allah is far above having any partners. Allah does not have any partners in anything. No one shares with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything. In His beautiful names, in His attributes, in His actions. No one creates with Allah, no one provides with Allah, no one maintains and sustains the universe along with Allah, etc. Likewise, when you say subhanallah, you're saying that Allah is far above all deficiencies and all shortcomings. Walhamdulillah, kama sabaq thana'un ala Allah jalla wa ala. As for alhamdulillah, is that you praise in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it is mentioned before, you praise in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His endless bounties and favors. That's why we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هاتان الكلمتان سبحان الله والحمد لله تملأان أو تملأ الكلمة الواحدة تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض. سبحان الله. This statement سبحان الله والحمد لله. How easy on the tongue, but it fills between the heaven, that which is between the heaven and the earth. الله أكبر. قال ومعلوم ما بين السماء والأرض من الفضاء الواسع. He says, and we know that it is very vast, that which is between the heaven and the earth is very vast. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, مسافة لا يعلمها إلا الله. The distance between the heavens and the earth is a great distance that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. قال وقد جاء في حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هل تدرون كم بين السماء والأرض؟ قال قلنا الله ورسوله أعلم. And he mentioned the Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan a hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم once asked them, do you know the distance between the heavens and the earth? We said, Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم know best. قال بينهما مسيرة 500 سنة. He says between the two of them, the distance of 500 years. وبين كل سماء إلى سماء مسيرة 500 سنة. And between each heaven and the one that come after it, likewise, the distance of 500 years travel. 500 years travel. وكثف كل سماء مسيرة 500 سنة. And the thickness of each heaven, likewise, is 500 years travel. قال الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى فهاتان الكلمتان إذا قالهما الإنسان بصدق ونية خالصة يملأان ما بين السماء والأرض على سعة ما بين السماء والأرض لعظم هاتين الكلمتين لا للفظهما ولكن لمعناهما والعمل بهما فليس المقصود التلفظ باللسان فقط بل لا بد أن يعمل بهما. Then the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he says these two statements. Easy. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. When a person utter them, say them, but this is very important to remember, but being truthful with a good intention, sincerely for Allah. When a person said that, these two statements fill for him that between the heaven and the earth. Even though it's so vast, it's huge. These two statements, if you want to put them in a notebook of 50 pages, they will not fill the first page when you write them down. But if person said them with sincerity, truthfulness, they fell between the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. He says that shows the importance of these two statements. It's not like subhanAllah, subhanAllah. These are very important statements. They're very beneficial for us. But the Shaykh said this is not just for someone who's saying subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. But this great reward is for someone who knows their meaning. Remember when he says subhanAllah, that's tawheed. That's the importance of tawheed. Because you're saying that Allah is above all deficiencies, above shirk, above having partners. And that's the best thing that a person can say. And acting upon that. Person says subhanAllah, but he has to have the aqidah of the salaf. Not saying subhanAllah and he thinks that the hands of Allah resemble the hands of the creation. It's tanaqul. This is contradiction. Not somebody say subhanAllah, which the true meaning of it, one of the meanings, is that Allah has no partners, and he's still the same person who says subhanAllah after Asr 33 times, and then he's going to go to a grave of some person and say, oh so-and-so, Jailani, give me, help me, assist me. This person is contradicting that statement. So that's why the Shaykh is saying this is not just for anyone who says subhanAllah. No, they say it, but they know what it means because this is a statement of Tawheed. And act upon that in his life. So he said what is intended here is not just to say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, but to act upon their meanings, to be upon Tawheed. And to stay away from shirk. and to praise Allah for His favors, not to go against the qadar of Allah. Some people, they praise Allah only when Allah give them what they want. Some people, they go apply for a job, they get a job, no, alhamdulillah. They don't get the job, they don't say alhamdulillah. That's it, that's all, that's the only favor that you think Allah gave you, that job. What about your vision? You walk to the job. That's not a ni'mah that you have to praise Allah for walking, other people can't walk. What about the ni'mah of intellect? Whether you have a job or you don't have a job, actually if you don't have that ni'mah, they don't give you no job. What about the ni'mah of security? You're walking, you're driving peacefully, nobody bother you. Some people, they can't even stick their heads outside the window. What about vision? What about meaning? SubhanAllah. Some people, they choose what ni'mah is important to them, money. So if they have more money, alhamdulillah. No. The favors of Allah, the greatest of the favors is the fact that you're upon Islam. And we should praise Allah all time, whether we have money or don't have money. You have business, whether you make money that day or you didn't make no money. Whether you're healthy or you're sick. Things are going your way from the matters of the dunya or not. Because you have the best ni'mah that Allah gives to only those whom He's pleased with. Ni'mat al-hidayah. The guidance of the favor and the bounty of guidance, being guided to al-Islam, and not only being a Muslim, being upon the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because there are Muslims upon bid'ah, masakin. There are Muslims, alhamdulillah, they Muslims. They believe in Allah, they love Allah, they love the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, but because of jahl, ignorance, they commit bid'ah, innovations, but now Allah guide you to the Sunnah. You want to know, before you make dua, you say, Akhi, this dua, because the Prophet ﷺ did it? Yes, alhamdulillah. Where is the dalil? Is there in Bukhari, Muslim? Alhamdulillah, let's do it. I want to learn it. But when somebody says, no, that dua that these people are doing, it is not from the Sunnah. Why is it not from the Sunnah? Because the Sahaba didn't transmit for us any dalil, not even a weak dalil. Nothing about this. Why these people are doing it? No, we don't know. Ignorance, maybe. They just follow one another instead to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then that person whom Allah wants good for him, and he should praise Allah for that, he's going to like that, say. Because it's not easy. It's not easy for a person to follow something that maybe most of his people back home or people around him are doing the opposite. No. That's why the kuffar of Quraysh and the people of the past, that's the shubha that the shaitan has for them. So how can we leave what our parents are upon? Yes, we find our parents doing this. We find our forefathers doing this. And they stick to that. And they oppose the haqq when it came to them. But now you, Ya Abdullah, the haqq come to you and you accept it as long as with the dalil, with the proof. And you say, SubhanAllah, doesn't matter how long I've been doing this. Doesn't matter how many people are doing it, even if everybody on earth is doing it. But I cannot do what they're doing because I was commanded to follow the book and the sunnah. Since this is what the Prophet ﷺ did, I'm going to do it. And since what these people are doing, the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, Allah didn't command us to do it, then I'm not going to do it. Allahu Akbar. And that's a ni'mah from Allah that we thank Allah for. Na'am ibadallah. We praise Allah. So remember now, these classes are very important for us. Now some people, maybe before they heard this information, to them saying SubhanAllah 33 times after Salat, Alhamdulillah, it's just like, okay, let's say it, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Sometimes they don't say it. But now from tonight at least, it should change. Because now you know the benefits of subhanAllah. You know what you're saying. And you know what this statement do to you. SubhanAllah. You know the reward now. So now you're going to stay that 1 minute. Because it takes you 1 minute or two to do that. It does not take 2 hours. After taslim, it does not take 2 hours. It does not even take 5 minutes. To say astaghfirullah 3 times. And you make that dua and you say subhanAllah 33 times. Alhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 33 times. Does not take more than 2-3 minutes. Does not. Now I'm sure you will have that. You put it in your plan. Because some people, they just leave and spend more than that time outside, talking in a parking lot. Instead to say this statement, SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, تملأان أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض. They feel that between the heaven and the earth. نعم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والصلاة نور. Then the Shaykh is going to explain the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this great hadith. الصلاة نور. Salat is light, like the light. نور. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان الصلاة المفروضة والنافلة نور في الوجه. He says, performing the obligatory prayers and performing the optional prayers put a light in the face. Naam. Put light on the face of those who perform the prayers. فتجد المضيعين للصلاة على وجوههم الظلم والكدرة والعياذ بالله. So that's why you see on the faces of those who do not pray and they are negligent as related to their prayers, there is darkness on their faces. Their faces are gloomy, dark. وتجد المحافظين على الصلوات والمتهجدين في الليل على وجوههم الضياء والنور والبشاشة. But then those people who preserve their prayers and pray tahajjud at night, you will find that their faces are illuminated, radiant. They happy, smiley faces, cheerful faces. Those who do not pray, negligent, are always in a bad mood. They're not cheerful. قال هذا شيء واضح للناس إذا تأملته. He said this is a reality actually. If you pay attention to it, it's a reality. This is real. Those who preserve the prayers and they perform them in the correct way and they perform the optional and the obligatory, they happy people. Cheerful face. Their hearts are happy. They joyful. They nice. But those who don't pray, they are not nice. Naam. They're always in a bad mood and they have no patience. But those who perform the prayer, they're nice. And that's true. We give an example. You deal with anybody, a mechanic, electrician, a plumber, anybody who, alhamdulillah, known to be good with his prayer and preserving the prayer and mention the prayer, he's good with it. And he knows the importance of the prayer. And he prayed the optional prayers. If you go to him with a mechanic, he's nice. As soon as you meet them, salam alaikum, salam. Nice, beautiful smile. What can I do for you, akhi? Yeah, I don't know. The car making this in this sound. Don't worry about it, inshallah. We'll see what we can do with a smile. Can we do ham? Don't worry about it. Inshallah, you want to drop it off or you want to bring it back tomorrow? It's up to you. Which one you want? Yeah, I can wait for it. Inshallah, you can wait. But there's like another car in front of you. If you want to wait, inshallah. See, alhamdulillah. You go to someone, don't pray, or he pray whenever he want. Salaam alaikum. You don't even get the salam back. Then he say, Akhi, I'm saying salam. Akhi, don't you see I'm busy? No. Face is not cheerful. Don't you see I'm busy? Listen, I'm here to fix my car. Okay, that's why you're here. This is a mechanic, okay? Hey, they give you a hard time. Give you a hard time. The people who are upon salat, because salat give you taqwa. They nice, easy people. You bring somebody to your house, electrician, who alhamdulillah preserved the prayer and serious about his religion. MashaAllah, he's like, can I go now, akhi? Okay, alhamdulillah. He don't be looking everywhere in your house. If you want to use the bathroom, he ask. He lower his voice. All of this, the adab and the akhlaq he gets. Somebody who don't pray, or he pray whenever he want, man, you know, talking loud in your house, checking everything. Akhi, what you got there? What's that? What is this? You gotta like, subhanAllah, babysit that person. Naam, that's what the Shaykh said. This is something that is real. People who preserve the prayer, they're nice people. The way they talk to you, the way they look at you, the way they shake your hand is nice. Soft people. Easy to deal with. Those who don't pray, difficult to deal with. Difficult. Naam. قال فالصلاة نور لك في وجهك ونور لك على الصراط ونور لك في سلوكك وحياتك. Shaykh says, نعم, salat is a light. Is a light on your face. Is a light for you on your face. Salat is a light for you on the sirat. أي نعم, on the sirat. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, that bridge over the hellfire. He said, Salat is a light that you need on this journey in your life, this journey that we are all taking towards the hereafter. Because this life is nothing but a journey. We're traveling towards the grave, Yahwan, as that's a stage, and then from that towards the hereafter. Don't you think that you were created to stay here? A lot of people died, and we're going to die too. And death is certain, tomorrow is not. Naam. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ayah 45 in Surah Al-Ankabut, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Verily prayer prevents from al-fahsha. Subhanallah. The prayer prevents from great sins of every kind, Allah for sexual intercourse, etc. And al-munkar prevents from disbelief, polytheism, and every kind of evil, wicked deed, etc. It is said by Ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as I'm reading to you now a note from the Noble Quran, says, it is said by Ibn Abbas and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, if the salat, the prayer of anyone, does not prevent him from al-fahsha and al-munkar, all kinds of evil, illegal and sinful deeds, then his prayer increases him in nothing but loss. And to be far away from his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Tafsir al-Qurtubi, volume 13, page 348. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة البقرة. Then the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan mentioned the ayah in Surah al-Baqarah. Ayah 45 also. From Surah Al-Baqarah. So, two ayahs. One from Al-Ankabut and one from Al-Baqarah. Both of them ayah 45. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. And seek help in patience and prayer. And truly it is, meaning the prayer, it is extremely heavy and hard, except for the khashi'un, true believers in Allah, those who obey Allah with full submission, fear much from His punishment, and believe in His promise, paradise, and in His warnings, hell. جَعَلِ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ يَكَسْفِرُمْ دُمَامِينَ. Salat is hard. Some people can't stand, can't give. It's hard in so many ways. Some people can't get up to pray. Some people can't leave their desires to pray. They know they're supposed to pray, but there is a desire. Everybody has a desire. Some is sports, some is money, some is children, some is whatever it is. And then because of that, they don't pray. It's hard for them to pray. But salat that is hard on certain people, it is easy for others. Who are those others? Iman. See the importance of aqidah. If somebody wants to know why the ulama always aqidah, creed, tawheed, because that's it strengthens you in iman. And the more you're strong in aqidah and iman, the more it become easy for you, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, to carry out the commands of Allah. Salat become very easy. You're coming for salat, but something else pop up in your way. What do? Change your plan? No. Same way you're doing research on the internet, and those pop up, you know, come to you. What do you do with them? Huh? Close it. Commercial, especially now, whenever it's almost everything, whenever you want to do something, they have this commercial for you, right? But then alhamdulillah, it's a good thing they said you can skip this ad, right or wrong, you can skip it. I wish now they tell you can skip it in 5 seconds. Even that 5 seconds, we don't want it. We don't want that ads to begin with. Now you want to read, you want to listen to Sheikh bin Baz, and they have that pop-up for you. You can skip it. Click. Because that's not important. You're not on that PC for that. So you close it. Likewise, Ikhwan. But if somebody just there, I don't know, he just surfing, and he don't care. Maybe the ad become more important to him than what he was there for. So now the salat is very important for us. So if you're coming to pray, that's it. That's important. Nothing else. Not somebody going to stop you, or some game, or some phone call. Unless if emergencies, that's different. You're coming to pray, but then you receive a call from your mother. She's like, son, she fell off the steps, and she want to go to the doctor. This, your children, they need. That's different. Or the police give you a detour, you come in, they say, no, you got to go the other way around, and you got stuck in the traffic. That's different. But for someone deliberately change his plans, he's coming to pray, before you know it, he's heading towards I don't know what. Now, this is not good. Salat is easy, alhamdulillah, but upon the believers. قَالْ فَالصَّلَاتُ أَمْرُهَا عَظِيمٌ. Of course, the Shaykh, he just mentioned briefly about the Salat when he explained, but subhanAllah, Salat is very important. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, when he explained this hadith, also he said, As-salatu nurun fil qalb. Salat gives you a light in your heart. And we all know the difference between light and darkness. Look at now, alhamdulillah, we're in this masjid, we have light on. If somebody turn off the light right now, don't try it, just as an example. What's going to happen? Huh? If we turn off the lights right now, turn the switch, what's going to happen? It's going to be dark, that's the first thing. Okay, what is the consequences of this action?
Everybody gets panicked.
Naam. Panic, ahsant, yeah. If the light just go right now, off, panic, yeah, confusion. It's the people, they just sit right there. Now they look, what happened? What's going on? Right? What's going to happen to us? We cannot see. What's going to happen to this class that we are learning, alhamdulillah? What's going to happen? It's going to stop. It's going to be interrupted. Why is it going to be interrupted? Because I cannot read me. Because I'm reading to you. If this stuff is from my head, mashallah. If Sheikh Fawzan himself was here, and we love that, mashallah, the light in, light out. Because that's what the Sheikh Fawzan is going to say. The light. What's this confusion? The light, Sheikh, the light is gone. Okay. Can you still hear me? Yes. And he's going to keep going. But me, I'm not going to tell you that. Can you still hear me? Yes. All right. I'm going to keep going. No, I'm not going to keep going because I cannot read in the dark. Unless if I have what? A flashlight. If I'm coming prepared and I go like this and I read to you, say, alhamdulillah, I have a flashlight. And we continue the class, no problem. What can you imagine that? Driving not in a city. Driving in the countryside, in a mountain, a forest, all these turns and ups and downs, and you're driving in a dark night with no light. Who can correct me? You should correct me right now. Ahsan ta'udallah. So why you want to drive in the dark like this in these conditions? You're driving in the dark and this. No, you shouldn't even drive. And we know that. No light. You're like, no, I can't take what? Cannot take this risk. That's what darkness is about. Risk. But when you have a light, you can see in front of you. Likewise, the heart. If there is darkness in the heart, people doesn't see the haqq. They don't see the truth. They don't. That's why they act upon falsehood. They don't see the sunnah. That's why they keep acting upon bid'ah and innovation, because there is no light in their heart. Well, guess what? That light is brought to the heart by the salat. Salat is a light in the heart. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen says, وَنُورٌ فِي الْوَجْهِ is a light in the face. وَنُورٌ فِي الْقَبْرِ وَنُورٌ فِي الْحَشْرِ Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says, it is a light in the grave. Ayna. And a light on Yawmul Qiyamah. But this light's for who? For anybody who pray? قال لا إذا صليت الصلاة الحقيقية. Now, if you pray the real prayer, if you perform the real prayer, what does it mean? التي يحضر بها فيها قلبك ويخشع جوارحك. Now, if a person, he says, while performing the prayers, not just one, every once a while, every single prayer, his heart is there too, not just the body. The khushu' and the whole of the body, the heart is there and comprehending what that person is doing, focusing and pondering upon what the person is saying and the moves they're making, and the body, the entire body, humble itself. Khushu', tranquility, peace. Not like somebody is standing maybe in the first row right behind the imam. He's right there. But then what is his mind? Still running the streets. Not here. Don't even know if the imam in the first rak'ah, the second, the third, doesn't know. If the imam lose his wudu and turn and find that same person behind him and pull him to lead the salat, he's like, whoa, what rak'ah are we? Because he's not there. His body is there, but his mind is not. His heart is not in the salat. Standing behind the imam in the salat, but he's thinking about money, business, plans. La, this person's salat does not benefit him. Now, damn, you gotta be in the masjid, praying with the Muslims in the jama'ah, behind the imam, but also your heart has to be here in your mind. Not thinking about something else, thinking about the salat. When you say Allahu Akbar, what does it mean? When you begin to recite Al-Fatiha, you ponder and reflect upon the meanings. Or the imam is reciting, you ponder and reflect, that's khushu'. You know that you always remember always that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. People standing in front of Allah in salat, they're looking everywhere, they're scratching everything. And what salat is this? They know who sneezed when they sneezed. No, he sneezed in the second rak'ah. I know. So you were praying, akhi. Now you know that the brother sneezed. No, that came from the right side. I know, brother. Allah gave me those gifts. Those are gifts now. Subhanallah. I know. Naam, the salat that benefit the person is the salat that the person, not only he has to be in the masjid with his body, but his heart has to be in the masjid. His mind focus on the salat. Now a person, he's in a salat, Allahu Akbar, but he knows who came late. He can't tell you who came. La. You gotta focus on the prayer. Focus on your prayer. It doesn't matter what happened, who sneezed, who came late, who came after who, because now you got a job to do. You want to get the most benefit from that prayer. Alhamdulillah, you're in the masjid. Some people didn't make it. Bring your heart with you. Don't leave your heart somewhere else. Now bring your heart with you to the salat. And this is not easy, by the way, okay? So we have to ask Allah. It's not easy because, hey, we all standing in here and after the salat, alhamdulillah, are we happy? But Allahu Akbar, but you know, were you in that salat? All four rak'ahs you were paying attention? Or maybe the first rak'ah you were paying attention and then something, shaitan will come to you, as there is a shaitan that is called khinzal. He will come to you and try to disturb you in your prayer. Now, sometimes it happens to us, we're human beings. You begin the prayer and nice, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, you focus and you're listening to the imam. And before you know it, maybe in the same rak'ah before ruku', in the second rak'ah, now you're already thinking about money, about your plans, about you getting a haircut after the salat, and you're planning like you're not even in a prayer. Where did all that come from? Khushu'. That comes from the khushu'. And subhanAllah, how to achieve the khushu'? That's another good question that the ulama, they answer. The khushu' is not just a button that you're going to turn on when the imam said, istawu. What is the khushu' button? Really? Okay, khushu'. Allahu Akbar. No. Khushu' starts way before the prayer. Khushu' has to do with your lifestyle. Who you are. What's in your heart. What's have priority in your life. What you've been looking at coming to the masjid. What you've been hearing coming to the masjid. Damn. If a person coming and looking at everything, listening to the haram, looking at the haram, saying whatever, loud, this, getting involved in everything. Allahu Akbar, khushu'. What khushu'? Now you have to be humble. Your life has to be humble life. Upon tawheed, upon taqwa of Allah, inshallah Allah will give you the khushu'. Naam. So this is the importance of the salat. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, this is the salat that when a person perform it, not only his body is present, but also his heart and mind. The heart has to be present in the salat as well. By contemplating, reflecting upon what they say. Not someone who his body in a salat, his heart still on the dunya, still running his business, conducting transactions in the salat. Yeah, he gave me that deal. I cannot accept that because it's going to hurt my business. He's in a salat. In a salat. Now he made a decision. Sometimes the person be dealing with a Muslim. Before the salah, he said, "Ya akhi, look, you remember the car? Look, man, what about 3,500? Is that okay?" He's like, "Look, akhi, after the salah, we talk, okay?" That person right after the salam, salam akhi, "Akhi, that's not good. No, it's not good for me." He's like, "What are you talking about?" "No, the price." "What price?" "Sir, car." "Akhi, we said we're going to talk about it." "No, I already figured out." "Where?" "In the salat." He figured out everything that's not a good deal in the prayer. Can't do that. It's okay to figure out what's good for you and what's not good for you. That's a good deal. It's not. Alhamdulillah, it's okay. But not in a prayer, ya akhi. Not in a prayer. Take some time. After the salat, if the brother come to you and said to you, "Akhi, what do you think? The deal that I suggest before salat, what do you think?" He said, "Akhi, I have to think about it." "All right, take your time. I have to think about it. Akhi, we were in the salat. I wasn't thinking about no car. That doesn't mean nothing to me. Even if somebody give me $1 million, I don't care about that time. That was my salat. The car is only for the dunya. The salat is for the hereafter. I don't mix these two. The hereafter, the actions of the hereafter take precedence of the actions of the dunya." You see? These are the salats that will benefit a person when his heart is disconnected from the dunya. When he says, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah," and make the dhikr, now he opened the door for the dunya matters. But in the salat, he focuses on the hereafter. He says, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah said, "This is the salat that brings light to the heart. And this is the salat that the person, when he tastes the sweetness of that ibadah, while in the salat, subhanallah, he's happy. While in the salat and after the salat, you see that person sitting there like somebody just put $1 million in his hand. So happy after the salat. Allah. Unlike somebody whose heart is not in the salat, can even wait until the imam makes taslim. And you see them in the salat. Moving. Some of them, they be making some sounds. Like telling the imam that you're getting a little bit overboard. Blah. But the one who's concentrated in his salat, actually he will love if the imam recite longer, because he's enjoying what he's in. His heart is enjoying the ibadah. And by the way, we bring in these classes is for us to benefit. Okay? Is for us to apply. Islam is not just we Muslims, we're just going to stay the same Muslims on the same level we've been 10 years ago. Now we have to pay attention. Especially for us, alhamdulillah, Allah guides us to be upon the sunnah. And we study. It's not like some Muslim, they just Muslim by affiliation. And they don't study, they don't sit in no circles of knowledge. Nobody's to teach them. Some Muslims don't even know who are the ulama, or who are the scholars. Anybody can pose as a scholar and they believe him. No. But we, alhamdulillah, Allah has opened this door for us. And this is another ni'mah. That's why we say subhanallah, alhamdulillah. That Allah guide us to something that a lot of people are not guided to. We know, not all the scholars, but we know at least a couple of good scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we read from their books. So, we have to implement these guidelines. So when the salat comes in, you look, nothing more important than this salat. I'm going to do my best. And you have to do it yourself. If you're in the salat, but then you know how many times the door was open, and you know who came late, and who went to make wudu? Now, what salat is this? Are you a security guard? Doing security, who know who came late and who's not and who went and who... La. This is for the people who don't know. My grandmother, rahimahullah, she was an old lady. She didn't know. as older people, she didn't know. Nobody taught her anything. They told us because she died a long time ago. Not only her, her and other maybe people in her age, they just, alhamdulillah, they pray, but nobody taught them the importance of the salat, the khushu, the heart has to be in the prayer. And they said that her and other ladies in the area, when they pray, they be in the middle of doing something. And then she's like, okay, ladies, I'm going to pray. And she's right there next to them, Allahu Akbar, she's praying. And then she's like, she's praying. And then they be looking for something in the house. What is this? She's like, over there. Or if you find somebody like they praying and then after the salat they correct people. No, it was not like that. What salat is this? But these elder people who nobody taught them, well, mashallah, we hope that Allah may accept from them. But as we are learning, ya akhwan, we're learning, the ulama are telling us what to do. So we have to be sincere and try our best to apply the knowledge. It's not how much you know, how many books you have in your library. Oh, I got that book. I got it. I got it 10 years ago. What is the benefit? It's not how much you know. Alhamdulillah, yes, if you apply everything for Allah, you'll be better than those who don't know what you know. But if somebody know a lot but don't act upon it, so knowledge, what is the purpose of knowledge? Knowledge mandates actions. And these classes are for us to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves in every class we come to, and we pay attention. Things we know, we say, Alhamdulillah, I know that. Not we grow arrogant, oh, I know that. No, we humble ourselves, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah. The Shaykh saying that, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. And ask Allah to keep you firm upon that good. Okay? Then if I know, as I know myself, many things I be reading for you, my brothers, that I'm deficient. So this is for me first. I'm like, SubhanAllah, I got a lot of work to do. SubhanAllah, I've been hearing this for years, but I'm still struggling. And I got a lot of work to do, man, in my salat, in this, in that, in my behavior, in my manners, my dealing with my parents, with my wife, my children, my brothers, my time, how I use my time, this, SubhanAllah. And as long as we are mindful of this, at least we know what's wrong with us. Same way, you drive in a car, somebody, he knows that the engine starts changing sound. Some people, they're like, oh, that's something. And they take it immediately to the mechanic. The mechanic says, man, you're good. This is good. How long this did it? Just this morning. Very good. He said, man, I know some people, man, this sound, like myself, for example. I mean, the sound change or not, keep driving until the car stopped in the highway. The only one I'm going to call a mechanic. Then that mechanic, he knows. Who knows a little bit? Same thing, ya akhi. You know we're supposed to do the ibadah one way. But if we start doing it another way, now you're going to say, hold on, whoa, that's a flag now. Why am I doing the ibadah the other way? The ulama, they says this is how it's going to be done according to the Quran and the Sunnah. I'm doing it in another way. That's a problem. I have to acknowledge the problem and I have to look for solutions. And the solution, we have them, alhamdulillah, in this beautiful deen of Islam. And we be sincere to correct those mistakes. And if we fall again, alhamdulillah, we turn to Allah again with repentance and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. We will continue next Sunday with this very important hadith and this great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge which coupled with righteous actions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima kathira.